We welcome you today. We're glad you're here. And how many of you heard a siren over the weekend? Okay. Are you ready to hear a trumpet? I think I'd rather hear the trumpet than the siren, wouldn't you? It's good to see you today. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn to Luke, the 5th chapter. Luke chapter 5. Have you felt recently like, man, I just wish things could be right? That we could get it right. Have you felt like that? God just come and break through all the confusion and all the stuff and get it right. Well, that question in mind, I want to look at this theme today. The God who makes things right. I want to read this story to you. But first, I want to ask you some questions. How do you see God right now? What words would you use to describe Him? Now I'm not talking about words that somebody else uses to describe Him. How would you describe Him personally? Would you say, is He close or is He far away? Do you feel like He's close to you right now? Or is He far away? Third question. Is He the master of the guilt trip in your life? When you start thinking about God, do you start feeling guilty? When you think about God, does your mind automatically go to a guilt trip? Fourth question. Do you believe that God makes things right? Or does He make them wrong? What do you really believe about God? Fifth question. Who do you think God wants to hang out with? Be careful how you answer this. And a final question. Where's God right now? Where's He right now? Do you sense His presence? Is He near or is He far away? Now, hear this passage from Luke chapter 5. And one day He was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for healing. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. They were trying to bring Him in and set Him down in front of Jesus. But not finding any way to bring Him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they let Him down through the tiles with His stretcher and into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, He said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven you." The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or get up and walk. But, so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. Immediately he got up before them, and he picked up what he had been lying on, and he went home glorifying God. And they were all struck with astonishment, began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we've seen remarkable things today. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you right now to strip away the barriers that are between us and you. The false guilt trips, all the stuff that stands in between. Lord, I ask you to strip away pride and arrogance. And let's hear from you right now. We submit all of this before you, Lord. May the power of the Holy Spirit now come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here's some truths that are in this passage. We look in verse 18. Verse 18 that said, and some of them, they were carrying this man who had been paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him to Jesus. Life is messy, and sometimes it does not make sense. Can I get a witness on that? You look at it, and it looks like goulash. Lord, how can it ever come together? Is it ever going to make sense? Can any glory come out of this? Now, let me hasten to say something the Lord put on my heart earlier. There's some of us sitting here right now that I'm sure think that this message is for somebody else. Oh, preacher, that's a good message for so-and-so. I want you to know today, this is a message for all of us because it's the Word of God. You say, oh, I'm real familiar with that passage of Scripture. I've heard many sermons on it. Well, maybe God wants to take you a little step deeper in it today. So, lest we become complacent in the familiar and let convenience come in and steal the truth of God, let's be on our toes spiritually right now. The man is paralyzed. Why? We don't know the answer to that question. And in fact, you've got a million why questions today, don't you? Why? Why this? Why that? Why? How many of them did you get answers to last week? And let me ask you this question. Do you have to know why? Answer, no. You never have to know why. All you have to know is Jesus. Yeshua. You know, one day He's going to put it all together. But if you're investing today in this false theology that I've got to have all my why questions answered before I can start putting faith in the Lord, then it's not faith. Faith is, chapter 11, Hebrews, faith is the subject of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, yet to be seen. It's faith. That's why we call it faith. But we might not know why. We don't know why he was paralyzed. His friends did not let the fact that they did not know why he was paralyzed stop them from bringing him to Jesus. And it was messy. Now imagine how they must have planned it out. Well, you know, I heard about this guy. Healing's taking place in his life. Let's take our friend over there. They had already no doubt seen examples of the power of God. So they're going to take their friend. They get their friend over there, and what happens? There's a big crowd. They can't get their friend to Jesus. It's a mess. But notice how they, and some of our brethren, in Christendom, use this terminology. I like it. They pressed in. They pressed in. They found a way. There's more than one way to skin a cat. They used the brain that God had given them for God's purposes for this man. Secondly, God understands you and your problem. This man nor his friends could answer the question why, but they knew that Jesus had arrived. And Jesus understands all problems. Have you felt alone recently? Be honest. Maybe you're struggling with your job. You know, there are some of you seated here today, you've lost your job. Some of you looked at your 401k and you said, well, excuse me, you didn't look at it because you were looking at vaporware out there, the wispy of the up and down of it. You've looked at all the things that were the sure things, and you're wondering, what can I do? You're looking at the world situation. You know, we're in an election year, and you're looking at all this, and you hear all these platitudes from all these guys, but you shake it up and you wonder, well, what comes out different each time? Anybody thought that recently? But I want you to know today that the Lord can look right through to your backbone and He knows what you're struggling with. He knows your situation. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He even understands those things that you can't seem to explain to anybody else. And when you do try to explain it to them, all you do is make them mad. You had that experience lately? Third thing. Jesus does not want you to stay like you are. Seeing their faith, now get this. Jesus sees the faith of the friends, and then He speaks to the man. Friend, what does He say? Friend, your sins are forgiven you. You see, He didn't want that man to stay like he was. Now He ends up addressing two problems. He addressed, first of all, the biggest problem in the man's life, which is what? He was already, before these guys carted him to Jesus, he was already on his way to hell. You believe that? It's not like people are going to go to hell. They're already on their way. The Scripture says we're dead in our trespasses and sin. We're already dead. When Jesus comes into our lives, He makes us alive. He forgives our sin. He makes us new people. But Jesus would also address the man's physical problem. You know, as an example, as an outward showing to show that, hey, so that I can show you that I have the power to forgive sin, get up and walk. Boom. He gets up and he walks. Jesus does not want you to stay where you are. Friday, my dad, Gary Arms, sitting in the bear cage back there, and another friend of ours, traveled up to Greenville, South Carolina for the funeral of one of our dear friends, Thaddeus Simmons, 88 years young, who had early in my life had explained the gospel to me so that I could understand it. With the verse John 1:12 showed me what faith was all about and how you put your faith in Jesus. And through him, God used him to speak to me to bring assurance into my life. My dad got saved when I was 10 years old. He received Jesus when I was 10 years old. Most Sunday nights, many Wednesday nights, Thad Simmons would be over at our house. One night, they went up to go to the door, and Dad opened the door, and it was daylight. They'd been there in the Word all night long. I can't count the number of times that took place. Let me tell you, this guy was 88 years old. He had never arrived. He was still growing. Alzheimer's came to him. He couldn't remember his little grandnephew's name who came and spoke to him. He said, "What's your name?" And you know what his next question was? He said, "Do you have Jesus in your life?" Now, let me ask you, how deep does that have to go that even it gets past Alzheimer's? So, lest we think here today, and we all get this sometimes, we think we've arrived. Oh, I'm grown. I'm full grown. Well, let me tell you, we're not acting like it. Are we? What influence are we? How many are we bringing with us into the kingdom of God? Evangelism. The power of God. Now, I'm not talking about how many people can we make mad in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about that. Some of us, that's what we call evangelism. Well, I went out and I made a few mad. You know, you can tell a bunch of people you're going to hell. I mean, I have people on Abercorn Street tell me that all the time. I don't think they're doing it because of evangelism. Do you? Do you get me? Do you understand me? Jesus doesn't want you to stay like you are because he's doing a sanctifying work in your life. He is making you holy. He is conforming you to the image of Christ. He is giving you that thirst for the Word, thirst to be with him, thirst to be with his people. You know, growing people in Jesus, you know what growing people in Jesus are going to do? Every time they get a chance to get into the Word, they're going to get into the Word. Every time they get a chance to come and pray, they're going to do that. Every time that as they live in their lives out, they're seeing their whole life through the lens of their relationship with Jesus. Now, I'll go back to Thad Simmons again, 88 years old. It's funny. Here's so many things he had looked forward to. One of his boys was telling me, his old son's telling me, he even went out to the cemetery when he's picking out the plot where he's going to be buried. He said, and it was right by the road, he said he laid down. He said, I just want to see how it feels to be here. Now, I'm thinking about, man, but lest you think, oh, that was just a funny thing. He was thinking through the whole thing. His whole life. How he would live it. He was an aircraft mechanic. He was in World War II. He flew B-17. He was gunner on a B-17. He was a great mechanic. I mean, he had a great influence in my life, my dad's life, and my brother's life. My brother, his mechanical ability. I mean, he took several of our cars apart and called Mr. Simmons. "Mr. Simmons, help. I got to get it back together." He had Mom's 68 Valiant torn apart. One day, he called Mr. Simmons and said, "Look, I got to get this back together before Mom gets home." I throw that in to say to it wasn't this life that, you know, that it was, "Oh, Vic, you know, you don't need to worry about putting that guy, we're going to talk about Jesus now." Jesus was in that discipleship of spending time with a boy who needed to know what you know. Do you get me? Do you see it? It's the power of God. He doesn't want us to stay like we are. He wants us to continue to grow. And we're changing because the world is changing. Our world is different today, isn't it? How different is it? Is the world like you thought it was going to be? Man, it's sure not like I thought it was going to be. Number four. Verse 25 says, the man immediately got up, picked up the bed he'd been lying on, and he went home. You can be whole today. Now, think of this man. They see the guy in that town carrying his bed. He's walking. And that one sight shows everybody the power of God. What would you have to be carrying through town? That one sight would show everybody the power of God. For some of us sitting here, it would be walking through town with a person that you've spent your life hating. Because forgiveness has come. For some of you, It would be that you've got all this money in your hand, that you've idolized, that you've worshiped your life, and you're on your way to give it to Jesus. For some of us, fill in your blank. What are you carrying? What could you be carrying that would show everybody power of God? You can be whole today. You see, the religious leaders were attracted to Jesus. They were out there. They were principally out there to find out what they could pick apart in his message and in his person so that they could discredit him. And here they are with a dilemma, as I like to pronounce that word. A huge dilemma. Because you get to the end of the story, and he's been letting them take the bait. It's just the lines just peeling off as they've taken the bait down the river. And he's getting ready to set the hook. And here's how he sets the hook. Which is easier for me to do, say to this man, sins are forgiven, or get up and walk. Hey, I'm going to do both. In fact, he's already done one. Because the man has come in faith, his friends have come in faith. And unless you missed that, I know I hadn't said much about it, but look at their faith. And to think that your faith doesn't have an effect on other people in your life, to think that you're living your life as an island somewhere, come on, man. Get real. Your decisions affect everybody around you. And are those decisions pointing them to Jesus or away from Jesus? What are they doing? See, this isn't rocket science. Okay, back to the hook setting. Is it easier for me? Your sins forgiven? He's already done that. Or get up and walk. So you'll know that his sins are forgiven and that I have all powers given me in heaven and earth to do that because I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. He didn't say all that, but boy, his presence. Imagine the matchless feeling that you would have of the presence there of Jesus himself. Imagine that just going out and just engulfing everybody. And by the way, you know, it says that the presence of the Lord was so powerful there that day. The power of the Lord was present to perform healing. So he says, get up and walk. And he does. He sets the hook. And again, there's the golden muzzle for the scribes and the Pharisees. What can they say? Jesus will do what you cannot do. Now listen to me closely on this one. Some of us this week have lived in the anemic power of our own flesh. We have backed away. We have given up on situations. We have said, oh, I'm just going to mail it in. Let me tell you, never has there been a more important time in history where Christians cannot afford to mail it in because so many are depending on us. So many are depending on seeing the gospel through our lives. Jesus will do what you can't do. The paralytic was powerless over his own life. His friends were powerless to do anything that would help him. The scribes and the Pharisees had all the theology and none of the presence of God. Jesus did a marvelous work that day. He'll do what you can. What have you chalked up and given up on? What relationships have you mailed in? Have you said that, oh, well, maybe I can't get a job? Who said? Huh? Let me tell you, God can do whatever God wants to do whenever He wants to do it. God's not reading our financial report at Wall Street. That doesn't impress Him. He's God. And finally, Jesus will make all things right. He put that man back together according to his original purpose. That man had been created in the image of God. Sin had taken its toll on his life. This world system had taken its toll on this man's life. And then the Son of God, who would die on the cross in his place and rising on the third day, could offer to him salvation. He could help that man on the outside, but most especially on the inside, and make things right. He'd make things right for those friends who brought him there that day, and their faith would be built up, and they would see the righteousness of God and see the power of God. The crowd that was gathered there would also see that things were right, that when Jesus came, He put things in right order. He would make things right for the scribes and the Pharisees who did not believe in Jesus, whose faith was in themselves and whatever they could see in the mirror. There. He'd make things right. So, what must you do today? Well, here it is. It's time to take an inventory of your life right where you are. What's God speaking to you? I don't know. I can't see that. What's He speaking to you? Right now. He has spoken to you, right? Of course He has. That's not in question. But have you been listening? My daddy told me one time, he said, son, I'm not disciplining you because I get a joy out of disciplining you. I'm disciplining you so you'll listen to me. You got a hard head. You don't listen. I need your attention. And here's how I'm getting it. God got your attention. Take an inventory. Secondly, admit the wrong you've done. For some of you, maybe you've never received Jesus in your life. Today's the day. Today's the day to receive Jesus. He died on the cross in your behalf, and He rose on the third day, and He's offering to you salvation free to you, His grace to you, because He loves you that much. But if you've received Him in your life, has the Lord brought any conviction to you today? I can't imagine you've listened to me read this scripture and there's no conviction. I absolutely cannot imagine that. In my wildest dreams, I can't imagine that. What's He saying to you? Hey, don't shoot the messenger here, okay? You know, or at least let me know when you're aiming and I'll dodge. I'll take cover, but don't shoot the messenger. I'm just bringing the word. Yeah, whatever Velcro sticks, Holy Spirit Velcro, let it stick. Third, you need to turn right and go straight. Make a right turn toward Jesus. Roy McLean used to say that a lot. Turn right and go straight. The right. He is the right. Fourth, quit holding back. Give it all to Him. Don't hold back. Let me tell you, when the dividends come in on the investment and what you put in, you realize you get back a thousandfold, makes you kind of sorry you didn't go all in at the beginning, doesn't it? Huh? Don't hold back. Be all in with Him. And finally, receive His gifts. That paralytic receives two huge gifts that day. He receives salvation. Most important one. Because you see, he could have been healed, but couldn't die with that. He couldn't die because he'd be dead twice. You see, he made a decision that day to only die once. So he received the gift of salvation and he received healing in his life. It's raining. Wear your buckets. Wear your buckets. You ask God, God, oh, send your rain, oh Lord, send your rain. We sing all these songs, but, well, it's raining. It's raining grace and mercy and love and the gifts of the Spirit. He wants to give you the gifts. He wants you to be a better servant. He wants you to walk in faith. He wants you to walk in joy. He wants to put a big smile plastered on your face so you can be like the person that's in the eye of the hurricane. And speaking of which, you know who that is? Did you read it? That was a baby. They don't know how she got in that field. God preserved her life. That's the power of God for a person. His grace and His mercy. What are you missing out on? Let's pray. Lord, we love You, and I thank You for Your presence here right now. I thank You, Lord, that You're with us. Lord, I want to thank You for the life of that little girl. Lord, I could ask You a lot of other why questions, but I want to thank You for her. You are the one. You are the Lord. You are Yahweh, the one who makes things right. You are Lord over all. And we bless you today. Lord, right now, we open ourselves and we say, come, Lord. Come to us. Move in us. Thank you. The altar's open. If you'd like to respond in any way, we'd sure like to pray with you. People around to pray with you today, but come. This is your time.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have . Search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Jesus, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Continue to pray. We'd sure like to get those cards from you. And if you have an offering to bring unto the Lord today, we'd sure like to receive that too. So there's a basket in the back, baskets in the front here. And ladies, if you have those cards you want to put here, those prayer cards there, that's available too. So come and bring those at this time. Send you out with this. You know that those what ifs I gave you a while ago? What if they saw you carrying something? Here's a big what if. What if you went back into your world, your home, your workplace, your neighborhood, and you had this smile on your soul that Ajax couldn't take off? I mean, think about that. I mean, legitimate. I'm not talking about hokey dokey, plasticky Christianity. I'm not talking about that kind of fakey stuff. I'm talking about real joy. Real joy. And I mean, and that means you're really going to have to listen to people around you. And you're really going to have to allow God to love them through you. That, you know, when you see them, But joy. Like you're happy to be here. Bless you. Go in grace.